It's time for the shortlist, New England Public Radio's Week in Review. I'm Jill Kaufman. With us today is Rick Hurst, publisher of the monthly African American Point of View, and Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
One of the big stories this week were the many student walkouts across the country and region on the one-month anniversary of the high school shooting in Parkland, Florida.
Alyssa Aladeff. Scott
Beigel. That was from the walkout at Mahar Regional School in Orange, Massachusetts. A student read the names of the Parkland victims. Rick, some part of the walkouts were vigils, of course, and students have been also calling for gun legislation. The middle schoolers who were there in that mix and all over the country will not be able to vote for years, but the high schoolers will be able to vote soon. Where do you see these walkouts going from here?
Well, I hope there's a continuation of the protest. It's invigorating to see what's happening. It reminds me of the 60s and 70s, and especially the Vietnam War issues, protests that took off once the mainstream folks got involved. And I see these young people as the beginning of mainstream folks getting involved. And I think it's going to be a counter to the Trump factor, too, by the way.
You see this going all the way to Washington. I mean,
yes.
Meaning these kids, once they're really out there in the world.
Yeah, that's right. It gets catchy.
So, Natalia, these are teenagers who, you know, decades ago may have been forced to be more adult than they are now. And these kids, they've been called the generation of, you know, the coddled, basically. People like to make fun of these kids. But they have something now. They have this movement. When history judges this moment, will the gun control push be seen as this civil rights equivalent, maybe, or a Vietnam War protest equivalent?
I hope so, because these youths, you know, the early teens, They are taking on battles that my generation unsuccessfully took on. And we've been divided along the lines of, you know, all guns should be eliminated. Well, there are people who like to hunt for their food. There are people who enjoy doing that sort of thing. There are people who don't want guns at all on the streets. What these students are saying, and I cannot imagine being in 8th grade or 9th grade or 12th grade, having to fight for my life and face politicians and face school systems that say, if I step out for 17 minutes, I'm going to be suspended.
But this is something that you see could be, or at least you have a little bit of hope.
I'm very hopeful, and I'm going to that march in Washington on the 24th also to be in solidarity with this generation, which I think is going to be the generation that actually does it. Their parents didn't really do it. We didn't do it. I think they're going to get it done.
Right. There was a lot of focus on these walkouts this week. Also, though, had a few glaring examples of apparent hate crimes. An African-American history museum in Nantucket was defaced with racist graffiti. The apparent part is in Austin, Texas, two people were killed when these package bombs were dropped off at their homes, and both of them were African-Americans. One of the victims was a high school senior. He was getting ready for college. Rick Hurst, what can you say at the end of this long week?
I'm not surprised at what's going on. I think it's an environment set by Trump and the Republican Party, in fact. But to me, it's a reflection of the past. We've seen this kind of indiscriminate violence before by people who feel that they ought to be privileged to be able to get away with stuff like that. And I think the current environment has revived that kind of attitude. I don't think it's going to go too far because we fought the battle before, and I can tell you we're never going back. And so all these folks who want us to go back might as well forget it.
All right, I want to move on to some other things that were happening also with kids in particular. After those student walkouts, same day, a couple of hundred teens and adults came to Springfield, Massachusetts. They held a rally outside the headquarters of gun manufacturer Smith & Wesson. The company is the manufacturer of the semi-automatic weapon that was used in the Parkland shooting. Here's 17-year-old Valentina Pedroza. She says the company should work with gun control advocates.
They can be part of the solution. So, like, it's definitely important to have gun factories on our side.
Natalia, youthful optimism?
I think she's brilliant. Because what she's saying is Smith & Wesson is here to stay. We're not going to try to shut them down and have a bunch of people lose their jobs. We need them to be our allies. That's brilliant.
Yeah, but yeah. Youthful optimism? I mean, let's see. Have we been here before? I mean, that's a wonderful kumbaya moment. But, you know, we know how business works.
It's about money and power. And there's no two ways of looking at it. I think I agree with you, Natalia, but this thing is so much about money and power. It's so deeply ingrained. Smith & Wesson must sell guns. The Rifle Association will support that. They seem to represent people like Smith & Wesson. And in order to sell guns, you got to have buyers, so they're going to sell them to anybody who they want to sell them to. And guns are all over the street. And as you know, the African-American community in places like Chicago, Baltimore, are feeling the effects. Anybody who wants a gun can get one. And that makes the companies very, very irresponsible.
Well, it's true. That is true, what you just said, Rick. At the same time, this is the first time I hear someone say the gun manufacturer should be an ally of the gun control movement. And that's new and interesting.
I think it's a brilliant strategy.
Okay, we're going to leave it there for just a moment so we can get to another topic just for this week. We are going to keep talking about it, Rick, you can be sure. What was the top focus for months for lawmakers and for the public and for the press has been the status of residents in Puerto Rico after the last year's hurricanes. On the island, there are many still without power. On the mainland U.S., here in Western Mass and in Connecticut, many Puerto Ricans are in flux with jobs and with housing, and they're not sure whether they're going to stay here or go back to the island to their home. Natalia, you are from San Juan, as I understand. The situation is not front page here. Has it been dropped from the national conversation?
I don't think it's been dropped from the national conversation, but I do think that they're not telling the right story. The mass media, whether it's MSNBC, whether it's radio, online places, they're still sort of romanticizing the struggle of Puerto Ricans. They're still doing a lot of, oh, the San Juan mayor, she's awesome. And if you go to San Juan, you wouldn't say that. If you live in San Juan, you'd be saying, we don't have electricity. The traffic lights are not working. The elevators, I'm stuck in the elevator. We're still relying on diesel. It's a whole other story. And I think that's what's missing from whatever page is the real story of what's happening in Puerto Rico. I think we need to get away from Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders saying we're going to give a lot of money to Puerto Rico. Yeah, I think what we need is to get the real story of what's happening in Puerto Rico, which is continues to be a disaster.
Okay, we'll keep covering this for sure. Thank you both so much for getting this going today. Natalia Munoz, host of Vaya con Munoz on WHMP. I really appreciate your coming in.
Thank you, Jill.
Rick Hurst, good to see you again. Of course, publisher of the monthly African-American Point of View.
My pleasure.
I'm Jill Kaufman. This is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review, and you can catch up on your listening anytime, wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.